And now, on with the show.
Two times again.
Craigie two time.
Welcome everyone to Weekend Watch. It's us again. It's me, Spencer, and also Keith.
That's me.
And David.
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you?
74%.
Like barely 74. That's 70, awfully generous.
74% here.
I will give it to you. You watched all the picks this week, and I'm very proud of you for that.
Yeah, check out for the rest of the show.
Now he will, right? Like, he watched them all, but he's not going to talk about them.
Turning down to 14.
So yeah, this is Weekend Watch. We're here yet again with our with some recommendations for what you all should be streaming this weekend. Some good stuff out there to check out. We don't have a theme this week, so we're just going to jump right in with our hodgepodge of picks. David, why don't you start off, Mr. Watched Everything?
I want to start off by saying 14% attention is exactly 3% more attention than I paid in all of college. My first pick this week is Mars Attacks. You can watch this amazing masterpiece on Hulu right now. What is this? 1996? No, this is 2021. But anyway, sorry. Mars Attacks. It's a normal day for everyone until the president of the United States announces Martians have been spotted circling Earth. The Martians land and a meeting is arranged, but not everything goes to plan. And the Martians seem to have other plans for Earth. Are they just misunderstood beings, or do they really want to destroy all of humanity? I did have a little bit of an inside reason for picking this. Spencer said that he picked up Destroy All Humans, and I was like, I wonder if Mars Attacks is streaming.
You can hear Spencer talk about Destroy All Humans on our other podcast, Three Guys, One Up, part of the Three Guys Podcast Network.
Plug, plug, plug. Sliding that shit right in. This movie is fantastic. Why am I complete? Who's the fucking director? God damn it.
Tim Burton.
It was like right there, Burton. And I couldn't get it the fuck out. Tim Burton. It's Danny Tim Elfman Burton. Does the soundtrack. As it was like doing the intro, as it was doing the intro, I was like, this music is fantastic. And that's when Danny Elfman's name popped up. Jack Nicholson is like all over the place in this movie. He plays the president of the United States and a crazy Vegas like tycoon. This movie is packed with stars. Michael J. Fox, Glenn Close, Pierce Brosnan, Danny DeVito, Martin Short. Yeah, I mean, the list goes on. So many. Jack Black, a very thin Jack Black. Yeah, looking pretty
trim.
Yeah. Yeah. And the cleanest haircut I have ever seen on him. really, this movie is so great. It's got a fantastic sense of humor. It's got a great style. It's definitely worth a watch.
It is a wacky movie. Definitely a Tim Burton movie.
Danny DeVito. Glenn Close is so good in this movie. I love this movie. I was both equally terrified and in love with this movie as a kid because I was fairly certain we were going to get attacked by aliens. So I was a bit scared, but that did not stop me from watching this like 20 times.
Countless, yeah.
Yeah.
Even Ray J is in it.
Ray J.
Ray J of Kim Kardashian fame. Right on. David, what else do you want to say about Mars Attacks?
Watch it.
You should watch it. Very good. Keith, you go now.
Keith goes now. All right, my first pick is I'm gonna say kind of a guilty pleasure pick, but as I'm looking at some of the reviews, it's not nearly as hated as I expected it to be. This is a show that I kind of find campy in a good way. It's sci-fi campy instead of CW campy, and I like it. It's called The Magicians. It's on Netflix. I think they just added the fifth season, and I still need to watch that. I've watched most of it, and I started watching it again. And this is like I said, kind of a guilty pleasure. This isn't one that I talk about a lot with other people and stuff. It's just kind of a show that I really enjoy because it appeals to my fantasy side and also like this weird dark humor of and depression and stuff that they talk about in it as well. It's just really appealing to me the way they take familiar stories from our past, like Narnia and Harry Potter, and even some like Doctor Strange comic book type stuff, and put it into a very realistic, like post college, it's like your graduate program magic club, basically, that these kids get wrapped up in, and it's a school of magic, and and I love it. I don't know. You guys both watched this or at least started some of it, right? I'm interested to hear what you say, because I know it's not great, but it just kind of keeps me entertained throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm a few episodes in. I think maybe 4 episodes in or so. I did not realize there are 5 seasons of this, so that's good. I really like things that I can binge my way through.
Right.
And it's captured me. I didn't expect it to. Like, I had never heard of it before. And at the first episode in, I was like, hey, this is actually pretty good. So I'm looking forward to finishing it.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it. Well, what did you think, David?
I didn't quite finish the first episode. I'm going to go back and watch more. My initial reaction is this is Harry Potter with edge. This is like a Harry Potter meets Twilight, but not so pussy.
Yeah. And before you go too far with the Harry Potter side of it, I would say even more so than that, it would be Chronicles of Narnia is where I feel they kind of lean more heavily on. They're talking about this like kids book from the past that these kids are walking through the clock instead of a wardrobe and stuff. So it's not so much wand waving as it is like fauns and centaurs and shit. I think it is the more magical side of it. They do have wizards and magic, but it's a bit distant from the Harry Potter, but it has that whimsical feel to it as well.
There were definitely centaurs in Harry Potter.
You are correct. Firenze is a centaur.
I'm not complaining necessarily, and I like stuff from the sci-fi. So the sci-fi channel, excuse me. So I'm going to proceed and see where my opinion follows.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. I like the first season. It gives it a good start. It's probably not the strongest. The second season, I'm not a huge fan of, and then the third season was fucking incredible. They kind of really dove into the fantasy side of it and also into some of like the fucked up side of it, and I really liked where they went with it. Beyond that, I'm still I'm not too deep into past the third season, so I can touch on that at a later date, but this is definitely a show worth watching, and it's on Netflix. 5 seasons, like Spencer said, it's definitely is something you can sit down and binge.
Are you at all familiar with the book series?
All I know of the book series is my wife's cousin read them and fucking hated them. She said they're awful. They were poorly written. The time is different. It's a bit different setting. From what I've heard, and this isn't firsthand experience because I haven't read the books, but it is that this is one of those rare times that the video media is better than the written form. So
interesting. Okay.
I've taken Mara's word for it because she's a pretty trustworthy person on that front. I think she and I share similar interests in our reading and viewing.
All right.
Right on. So check out The Magicians, currently on Netflix. I'll go now, I guess. My first pick this week is a new docu-series on Netflix called Crime Scene, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. Do you guys remember when the video that was the impetus for this like first came out on the internet? Like, it's that video of this young Canadian Chinese woman in LA, gets into an elevator, starts acting really weird, like peeking out the door, like clearly terrified, then runs off and she's never heard from again.
Yeah,
I remember when that first hit the internet.
The first time I saw this was on Reddit, and it was blowing up. It was on a shit ton of subreddits the day that it was erupting. And I remember watching it several times and being equally creeped out, if not more creeped out, every time I watched it. It's eerie. It's eerie to watch, eerie. Even in the show. Like, they showed it over and over again, and some of the way she moves, like how she's acting, it's fucking creepy, man.
Yeah, for sure. So that video is the basis of this series. So it follows, you know, what happened to this girl, like her backstory, like what she was doing in LA, like, you know, doing this whole, like, just out of college backpacking trip by herself for the first time. She winds up staying at this really seedy downtown LA hotel called the Hotel Cecil. The show dives into that hotel's backstory and all of the shady shit that's gone on there, like crimes and murders and suicides and all kinds of things like this. And really follows the entire story to kind of figure out what exactly happened to this girl. It was pretty engrossing. It's 4 episodes, just under an hour each. It was good. I really enjoyed it. It's a pretty captivating watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was. I think I'm like 2 episodes in. I'm just about halfway through. I kind of fell asleep during, because we started binging it, but then I didn't. Anyway, it's good. They're very good at telling this story, and it's a deep mystery.
I really like the characters of the story. You know, the lady that was the manager of the Cecil Hotel.
She's a hard ass.
Yeah, right.
She's just kind of a funny lady with a funny story, and she's a funny character that she's got these weird antics about her, and she gets a little overly defensive, but I think it's because she just truly loves that building. The Cecil Hotel was like a true love of hers. She didn't want it to get the bad rap that it got, even though it's a fucking piece of shit building slapped in the middle of Skid Row in LA. Like,
yeah,
it might have good bones and stuff, but where it was in this time, it was a piece of shit. And
no good.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed her character and even her defense of this building and this hotel that she loves so much, but I disagreed with it, but I loved watching her.
It wasn't the best like true crime kind of documentary that I've seen, but it was enjoyable, right? There were some issues. You know what really pissed me off were those, they kept talking about the quote web sleuths.
God damn, they're like the most cringy assholes on the planet. Jesus.
These are the same people who accused the wrong guy of the Boston Marathon bombing, that same kind of group of people. And I hate the way they're so self fucking righteous when they talk about shit like this, because they interviewed a few of them. And there was a one guy especially who was like, I just wanted to know what happened and I couldn't. I needed closure. This fucking asshole on the internet who never knew the girl in question who vanished, talking about how he needs closure to this. It's disgusting.
My wife hated that guy.
Tragedy groupies. It's gross.
Yeah, they're pretty gross.
Like, his closure was he sent his friend to her like gravestone and he touched her gravestone for me. And it was like, that was your closure? That's when you like felt like
right.
These
like,
guys.
No,
are,
dude, you're just a fucking, you're like, you're a piece of shit with no life.
Cringy assholes.
You're an emotion vampire. You
it's
get
exactly
out of here.
It. Tragedy groupie is my favorite word for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's still worth a watch. So I definitely recommend checking it out currently on Netflix. So why don't we skip on over to David? David, what's your second recommendation this week?
My second recommendation, since I just finished playing the game Cyberpunk, I went ahead and revisited a classic, Blade Runner, the 1982. Is that you? Who was that?
I think that's Laura again.
Damn it.
No, that's Dylan.
Dylan.
He's muted. He's just listening to us talk live. Just jumping in the channel.
I was like, okay. Anyway.
Keep going. I'm not cutting any of this.
Blade Runner. Deckard, played by Harrison Ford, is forced by the police boss to continue his old job as replicant hunter. His assignment? Eliminate 4 escaped replicants from the colonies who have returned to Earth. Before starting the job, Deckard goes to the Tyrell Corporation and he meets Rachel, a replicant girl he falls in love with. That is a really awful synopsis, whoever wrote that up. But that is honestly the best one that I could find. The other ones are like pages long. because this movie, there's a lot to be said about this movie. It helped define a genre. Like, this is what I think. I mean, like, the first two movies I think when I think cyberpunk are like Akira and Blade Runner, you know, like, this movie took the noir detective format. Theme trope, and pushed it into a gritty, polluted, desperate future. And it did it beautifully. Yeah, it's on Hulu. Watch it.
Yeah, the classic dystopian near-ish future.
2019.
Right? Yeah. Near-ish past. Yeah. Who knew we'd just wind up in a slightly different dystopian present?
So, funny thing, I keep like looking around and it's like, we're in a cyberpunk future. We're like right on the fringe of it right now. We're there. Like, what are the hallmarks? Increasing wealth inequality, high technology, pollution.
We need some cybernetics and we'd be good.
We'd need to work just more, a more on
boring
that.
Version on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
A boring.
But on the bright side, I can tell Alexa to turn my lights on and off.
Thanks, robots. You know, I love this movie, but one of the things that I always forget about how much I love most about this movie until I revisit it is like just the feel of it, the setting of it. You know, it's an 80s movie. It's old, but God, they just did the set so well. It feels so clean. Desperate. It feels so, yeah. But it just, as a viewer, you're not sitting there looking at someone twisting invisible knobs on a Star Trek set. You know,
yeah.
It everything feels just very clean, very, very real, and it was a great set, and it adds so much to the movie. You know, the newer one did a great job too, but I kind of liked this, the older feel of it, more than the what was it, 2049 or whatever that they did.
Yeah.
I haven't actually seen 2049 yet.
Me neither.
It's good. It's worth a watch. I think you should watch it, especially if you like the original. And it does, they do a really good job of capturing some of the same elements. It just has a newer, updated feel, which I think takes away from some of the grittiness that is Blade Runner.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
There are a couple scenes where that movie does feel very old, where she's looking through all the pictures of her, the so-called pictures, the planted pictures of her family, and very old music books and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're in a couple spots, not future and high technology.
Yeah, you're right. But I think it doesn't like ruin the immersion or anything. No. You're definitely still feeling the setting.
Yeah.
Right on. Anything else you wanted to say about Blade Runner?
A very young Edward James Olmos is like an entire reason to watch this movie. He is sharp in this movie.
Man, Edward James Olmos is fantastic in everything he's done.
He absolutely is.
Battlestar shout out. Right on. Let's move on then. Check out Blade Runner, currently on Hulu. Hulu.
Hulu.
Going with Hulu. Keith.
It's Hulu.
All right, that's me. I'm up. So my next pick is also on Hulu. It is a Will Ferrell film, but not one that was very well received, maybe because he was a little more serious. Not just that, he was kind of depressed. This is a movie called Everything Must Go. It is probably my favorite Will Ferrell movie. I don't know, Step Brothers is pretty good. Talladega Night. I can't say. This is a great fucking movie starring Will Ferrell. It follows Nick Halsey and he's just kind of a drunk asshole that gets fired for his job for showing up drunk too many times. Heads home, finds all of his shit on the front lawn because his wife dumped him, and he's got to get the fuck out. So obviously this isn't a happy tale, but it's a great movie. I love the story. I love the character that he plays. I love the interaction that he has with the different people in this. What did you guys think of this movie?
I really liked it, but man, it was a sad movie.
Yeah,
it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, and it never is not depressing.
Yeah,
no, exactly. It's a downer all the way through.
It has a decent ending. I won't talk about that at all, but you know, it's like you said, it's just this, his interactions with his neighbors as he's living on his front lawn in denial about what exactly is going on and how he, you know, brought himself to this lowly state.
Yeah, trying to find his next six pack.
Yeah. It's nice to see Will Ferrell do these more serious roles. Stranger Than Fiction is another one that comes to mind.
I love that movie too.
Where it's just, it's not, you know, him doing an over the top character, you know, this time he's a race car driver, this time he's the elf, you know, it's yeah. not
it really him shows
doing a Will Ferrell movie, but it's nice to see him, you know, do something a little bit outside that comfort zone.
Yeah, I agree. It really shows his acting bones because the guy's a good actor. I think this movie and, like you said, Stranger Than Fiction are two really good showcases of that. He can play a character that's not a Will Ferrell character. That is very true. What did you think of this, David?
It's very human. Like I said, the Spencer said he didn't want to talk about the ending, but I'll just say it does kind of leave on an up note, but it's not what I would call a happy ending. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a shit movie about a guy who's having a real shit time, and it's a very human movie, and he develops these very human relationships with these neighbors who are very concerned about the man who's suddenly living on his front lawn. And it's a great watch. It's a not a feel good movie. I don't know it's a feel bad movie.
It kind of is.
I don't
sit there and be kind of miserable for little under 2 hours. This is a movie for you.
But
I'm kind of hot on that track. I had Lost in Translation last week, and now I got this week. We're just kind of feeling like shit for the month of February.
But I mean, at the end of these movies, you've grown a touch. Is that what I'm trying to say here?
I mean, I get that. Yeah,
a hopeful sense or something. Yeah,
I mean, it's a very real feeling movie, right? It's definitely a situation that's not out of the realm of possibility, either for, you know, for someone themselves or for someone they know. I mean, it's a movie that is relatable.
Yeah, I did like to see Michael Peña in a more serious role. I feel like I only see him in comedy.
Yeah, because he does it so well. He is so fucking good in Ant-Man. Like, his character in Ant-Man is like the quintessential Michael Peña character. I love it so much.
Definitely.
But you're right. It's nice to see him do something serious like this. So yeah, check it out on Hulu.
Everything Must Go, currently on Hulu. I think that brings us to our last pick, and that one is mine. And yet again, I'm going to pick another horror movie, you guys.
No, if this is... Is this a horror? It's thriller.
Yeah. It's a thriller. It's a horror movie. Yeah. It's a thriller. I don't like, I feel like nitpicking between horror movies and thrillers, like as a genre, is just, it's nitpicky and I don't like doing it.
Yeah, no, I just, as I was thinking about it, it's like, no, that wasn't, oh yeah, it kind of was. Like it was very, it has almost a similar feel to Invisible Man. Sorry, you still haven't said the movie.
Go, I thought it said the title. Antebellum, currently streaming on Hulu as well.
We're Hulu heavy this week.
Hulu heavy. That's our theme then, almost. Anyway, Antebellum. Successful author Veronica Henley is finishing a book tour before she returns home to her husband and daughter. But a shocking turn of events is about to upend Veronica's existence, plunging her into a horrifying reality that forces her to confront her past, present, and future before it's too late.
How do we talk about this movie without spoiling it?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It is tough. We got to kind of skate around that. I don't know how, because it becomes somewhat pretty obvious, like before the end of the movie, because it's throwing it at you.
I mean, yeah, it's throwing it at you, but I went through most of that movie and I was like, when it twisted, I was like, what the shit?
Yeah.
So there's like, okay, so there's a twist 40 minutes in and then there's a payoff towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know how to really talk about this without giving anything away, but it is definitely a thriller / horror movie that has themes relating to slavery and antebellum period, as that's the title of the film. I don't feel bad saying that.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's atmospheric. It's surprising. I didn't really see the twist coming. It was just good.
Yeah.
it surprisingly, the reviews for it are pretty awful. It's like a 28% critic rating and a 50 some percent audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
I can see audience hating this just because, I don't know, people suck. I'm kind of surprised by the critics hating this, honestly. I figured this would be a well-received critical movie. Just I thought it was good. I thought, like you said, it's got a good twist. I thought it was well shot. I think it's an original story. I think it is a it's a strong tale. You know, it's got the good thriller sides to it. Not many thrillers are going to get good reviews, but this is one that I kind of figured would.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the bad reviews might get that sort of eyebrow raise that Don, what's her name? Gabori Sabib. Oh man,
Gabori Sidibe.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm awful. I butchered it. Anyway, her character the ratings for this movie would elect the eyebrow raise that she gave in this movie.
Nice.
Anyway,
you got there. You got the idea. You elucidated the thought.
It was solid.
Yeah.
Good job, David.
Well done. So if you like horror movies with twists and whatnot, go check out Antebellum, currently streaming on Hulu. And that's it.
You've got the good Black History Month picks. I need to get on my game.
Up your game, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you had what? Defy Bloods and now Antebellum.
Defy Bloods was so good.
It was.
We
got poop.
What's I don't
poop?
Have any.
Oh, I think David had poop. David I said.
Oh, David had one. Yeah. David. Hey, David.
Yeah.
What, poop on what me. Did you not enjoy on one of our streaming services this past week?
I was scrolling through Netflix the other night, just kind of trolling for some things to watch. And I saw this show and immediately knew that it was going to be some hot steaming poop. But I went ahead and watched two episodes just to make sure that Serial Killer with Piers Morgan is hot shit. How the fuck does Piers Morgan still have a platform? Who the fuck is putting Piers Morgan on TV, on radio, on even a fucking grassroots little shitty do-it-yourself podcast? He should not even have that. He is such an insufferable, shitty little twat. This entire show is constructed around Piers Morgan going in, interviewing a serial killer, and baiting them until they get pissed off and storming out of the interview. And it is infuriating to watch.
Oh, that man.
Sounds terrible.
Sounds god-awful. It just makes me really cringe thinking of what that cunty little fuck Ben Shapiro is going to do with all the movies that he's planning on making as well. Because they'll be right in this realm, I'm assuming.
They're both insufferable fucking shitheads. And just Piers Morgan, nobody can spend more than fucking 10 minutes in a room with that guy, of course, and they're going to put him in a room with serial killers. I am disappointed that one of them didn't fucking lunge at him during the interview. Maybe they did. Like I said, I did. I only watched two episodes. I couldn't get through more than that because fuck, I can't stand watching that asshole.
It says something about a person when even sociopaths can't stand to be around you. when you elicit disgust from sociopaths, that's a pretty big accomplishment.
So yeah, that's my poop. Piers Morgan, you're a piece of shit.
Heaping pile of dung. Well, good to know. Not watching that.
So don't watch Serial Killer with Piers Morgan on Netflix. Right on. I think that does it, guys. I think that wraps up this week's episode.
Cool.
Hey, we did it.
We did it. Congratulations. David, I'm proud of you for watching everything this week. I feel like if I just heap inordinate amounts of praise on him, he'll keep doing it.
I don't know. Next week's a decades week.
Good point.
I already watched one, and I'm pretty sure I've got my second pick. Now I got to watch your guys' shit.
Nice.
I'll put that homework off until last minute.
That sounds right. As is tradition. Yeah. Anyway, don't forget to check out all the stuff like our Twitter pages, our Facebook page, our website, 3guys1up.com. We have a Patreon now, so please go ahead and give us $5 a month for
money, please. Our
sweet-ass content.
Please.
Please. because, you know, it costs a little bit of money each week for us to keep doing this. But right now we're doing it out of the kindness of our heart.
We're so nice.
But, you know, that's a finite resource there. So throw us a little cash, please. I think I hit everything. What else do we have to say? Is that it? Did I talk about all the things that did I plug all the plugs?
Yeah, we plugged all those plugs.
All right. We got all plugged all the pluggables.
Yeah.
And with that, we're going to sign off. Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we have volume number 2 of Decades Week. Good night, everybody.